The answer to us, to Jesus' question, seemed like a no-brainer. Who was the one who did the Father's will? Well, it was the one who did the work. Pretty obvious. Culturally, though, back then, it was widely more acceptable, in fact, expected, that an individual would be busy about saying the right thing, even though they didn't end up following through. I guess to put it in our own experience, if we were to be, let's say, in the presence of our dad and his buddies, and if your dad were to ask you to do a favor, and you said no, what do you think would happen? Would your dad go, "Oh, okay, well, thanks anyways"? No, he'd had an earful from his buddies. He'd, you know, make sure he'd, you know, try to save face and try to salvage the situation. And my son, my daughter, you know, they really do want to do this. Let me go talk with him, with her. Take that experience and multiply it. In the culture, it was more acceptable to say just the right thing. So Jesus here was inviting the chief priests and the elders to say, "Guys, think it through. Okay, you're going to have some hard feelings if the initial response is no, but if at the end of the day it gets done, it gets done. And that's good." This is what God asks each and every one of us. He is so much more concerned about the things in which we will accomplish and the things in which we will do. And at times, whether intentionally, I would argue mostly unintentionally, that we say we do things or say things about our faith, but then we just don't follow through. Or maybe we're there, but we're not really there. Kind of one of those things where you're physically present, but everything else is checked out. So let's say, for example, you know, when it comes to us going to the sacrament of confession, you know, we find ourselves saying the same things over and over again. And here the challenge for us is, well, what are we doing differently to address those things that have taken our love away from God? Or maybe as we're here in church, you know, where is our heart? Is our heart thinking about what we are going to do the rest of the evening or the next day, the responsibilities of the week, the things in which someone had shared with us just before going to church? And that's occupying our mind, that's occupying our heart. You know, and we really have made no preparation or no room to hear what perhaps God is wanting to speak to us tonight. And in many of these things, you know, it can be frustrating because it's not obvious. It's not something that's very clear. It's something that's very subtle. But it's something that indeed all of us fall prey to, because there are so many things vying for our attention. But at the same token, God, through His Son, Jesus, is wanting to let us know that, hey, the things in which we've said, the things in which we've promised, do we mean it? Do we really mean it? Another thing to consider, in a little bit, we'll recite the creed together. Do we believe in that creed? I believe in one God, the Father Almighty. I don't believe in multiple gods. I don't believe in the existence of, well, you believe in this higher power. Okay, well, do you? No, don't do you. Hey, let me tell you why I believe we have a Father in heaven. Do I believe in Jesus Christ? Do I believe in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit? Do I believe in the presence of this divine entity that is not just this nebulous force that exists for our own whims and desires, comes at our beck and call, but is actually a divine living person, the spouse of our Blessed Virgin Mary, the one who comes to us to be our advocate, to help to speak the truth into our hearts when we struggle. All these things do we truly believe and hold on to. And that can be a tall order, you know. Sometimes, you know, for us to reflect on these after Mass, after church, throughout the week, you know, sometimes we say, I already struggle just coming to church, you know, and I got to do more. But the more that we make that connection, the more, I guarantee, is that this time, this moment in which we pray together is going to be that much more meaningful. It's going to carry that much more weight. It's going to be something that affects us in such a way as it hasn't before. Why? Because we're now giving more and more of ourself in every opportunity of worship, and every time that we come to Holy Mass, every time we come to church, every time we profess the things in which we believe, the things in which we pray, in that expression of faith, that is what God is looking for. St. Paul's letter to the Philippians says that the demands of the Christian life requires a particular virtue, and that is found in Jesus, the virtue of humility. This kind of humility is one that has led Jesus to empty himself, taking on the form of a slave, becoming obedient to the point of death. To the point of death. Sometimes when we think about having humility, I think we have limits to how we want to be humble. You know, we want to have a little bit for ourselves, have some quote-unquote dignity. I don't want to be too embarrassed. I don't want to be too lowly. And St. Paul is saying the kind of humility that we're called to, Jesus demonstrates that for us purely, dying for us, taking on the form of a slave. What have we done to, in a sense, die to our desires and wills in our life with God, in our walk with God? You know, how much have we instead just held on to one aspect of our lives? You know, everything else we might have surrendered. Okay, God, you can have this, you can have this day or what have you, but this little part, no, that's just mine. And in order for us to enter into that humility, which then cultivates the attentive heart that is required in order for us to be given the strength, be given the grace to work through the things that cause us difficulty, that causes our words not to mesh up. So this is the humility in which we empty ourselves. There's leaving no room for ourselves. Now, we all have a fair struggle. This struggle Jesus had. You know, we see him in the Garden of Gethsemane. When he was in the garden, right, Jesus didn't go there and said, you know, Lord or Father, prepare my disciples and prepare my heart for the sacrifice. Amen. He said, Father, take this cup away from me. Not once, you know, said it many times, right? He kept going back in prayer and saying, take this cup away from me. But always ended with, but not my will, but yours be done. So it's okay to struggle. It's okay to have to go through that. But then all the while, still seeking, above all, the Father's will. So we got to make that gut check. How do I stack up with the things I've been saying to God? Do I really believe the things that I profess? Do I really hold on to the things that I said that I would do? Promises I have made. Now sometimes there's the thoughts of the past that want to pull us away from advancing. You know, we're too busy thinking about all the crud that I did before And you're just thinking, well, there's no way that I can do the things that God is asking me to do. I'm just going to fail. And here, the prophet Ezekiel speaks words of life to us. He says, if he turns from the wickedness he has committed, he does what is right and just, he shall preserve his life. Meaning when we find ourselves going through that sacrament of reconciliation, being reconciled to God, reconciled to neighbor, whom the priest both represents, then we find ourselves saying with great trust and faith, all of those things, all that stuff from the past, right? No longer defines me. It's no longer something that can be held against me. But I have the grace now to move forward. In fact, God wants us to move forward. Part of the tactic of the evil one is to just keep dangling those things in the past that we've already confessed, that we've already given to the Lord. Why? So that we're just kept in that loop again and again and again. There's no way of breaking out. We just keep thinking about those things. And then what happens? Because we're too busy thinking about those things, we're not doing what God is asking us to do. We're not accomplishing the works of the Lord, in which if we were to pursue that with abandon, we would find a renewed sense of joy, a renewed sense of identity. And we would find ourselves going, oh my goodness, this is what the Lord has planned for me all this time. This is amazing. But we can't get to that point if we don't recall those words in which the prophet Ezekiel has spoken to us. To come and accept that gift of reconciliation that our Lord has so made available to us. We are all sinners in need of a Savior. That's one of the reasons why we go to church. Going to church isn't about punching in our time, right? I'm here, God, don't smite me. Right? But because we want to give Him what is His due and listen for His voice. Our presence here speaks of our yes. But are we convinced in following through? Or are we looking only to save face while losing our inheritance in the process? So the questions we need to ask ourselves are, what promises do we need to uphold? And is there something that I just need to let go? We know that lip service is not enough. He wants our hearts. He wants our everything. Because it is only then that He can have that permission to do everything in our lives.